paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. It'll be 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, but no manipulation, because we don't try to con you here. We're not asking you for money. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not going to ask you to give it up, fess it up, do anything like that. But we will ask you to listen up. Listen as I try to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if I can do that, you have the freedom and you have the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. The Flatline radio show that you're listening to has been going on now for over 12, 15 years. I guess close to 15 years. It's been my great honor, my great privilege that God has given me to bring this radio show to you without any charge, without any solicitation of money. And we've always watched the Lord pay for it, because I believed if God's in it, God will pay for it. My staff and I believe that, so we don't make an issue out of money. We just do our job and let the Lord handle the rest. The flight line is about the forward line of troops, FLOT, forward line of troops. And here we're teaching 10 unique problem-solving devices found in the Bible. This is something my pastor taught me years and years ago. But if you learn these 10 problem-solving devices, then you can stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside source of stress. That's why we always say adversity is, of course, inevitable. But stress is definitely avoidable, optional. You don't have to have stress. There's a better way to live, and it's called the Christian life. It's a unique life. It's a lifestyle that captivates the mind of Christ, where there is no worry, no fear, no animosity, no anger, no bitterness. It's a great way to live. So the Flatline teaches you this. When you learn these 10 problem-solving devices, starting with the use of rebound, how to confess your sin to God, and the filling of the Holy Spirit, how to control your flesh, and the faith rest drill, how to stand on the promises of God, grace orientation, biblical orientation, having a personal sense of destiny, developing virtue love for God and virtue love for others, and sharing the happiness of God, even being occupied with Christ. These are all problem-solving devices taught in the Scripture, and that's what we try to major on this show. So today, let me remind you, if you don't know what these are, we have a book called Christian Problem Solving from our website. You can order it. It's free. Doesn't cost anything. Christian Problem Solving. Simply go to rickhughesministries.org. rickhughesministries.org. Not Richard Hughes Ministries. That's not me. That's another person. rickhughesministries.org. There you'll find our website. There you can order our books free of charge, and you can even listen to some of them, play audio books on the website, as our announcer will read those books to you. I remind you that we have transcripts of all radio shows available in printed form, if you'd like to have that, going back to 2019. So take a look at it. Order them if you'd like. And let's get into what we want to talk about today. Today I have something unique I want to teach you. I believe you'll enjoy this. It's called You Being a Spiritual Quiet Professional. You, me, you, both of us, being spiritual quiet professionals. You say, what is that about? Well, throughout the course of history, our Father has raised up, our God has raised up certain individuals who had tremendous leadership dynamics. Those individuals, be they men or women, were able to guide us through troubled times and bring calm in the face of storm. Could be a political leader, could be a military leader, could be a business professional, even pastor teachers. Some of these people have tremendous influence on those whom they direct. And I believe most of these types are usually not necessarily noisemakers, but rather what I call the quiet professionals. So this morning, I'd like to encourage you to join the ranks of the spiritual quiet professional, the SQP, spiritual quiet professionals. Many of the principles that I'm going to give you during this study, I will share with you. They were first taught to me by a dear friend and pastor whom I've actually lost contact with him, but they were ultimately given by God the Holy Spirit through him, through the pages of Scripture. So I took notes on them years ago, and some of those notes I'll share with you today. But notice what Paul says to young Timothy in Philippians 2, 19 through 21. Here's what he said. I'm going to read it to you. but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I may be encouraged when I know your state of affairs. For I have no one like-minded, as a key to it, like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For most all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Now notice that the trust that Paul had in Timothy, because they were like-minded, and he knew Timothy would care for the church at Philippi and not seek to promote himself. So here's a principle. If you want to be one of these spiritual, quiet professionals that I'm talking about, here's a verse you must understand. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12. It is this: I want you to aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. That's right. Live a quiet life, mind your own business, and work with your own hands as we commanded you, so that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Did you notice quiet life? That you mind your own business, work with your own hands, and walk properly? These are several critical traits of the spiritual quiet professional. He's to live quietly and mind his own business, work with his own hands, behave properly towards outsiders, and be dependent on no one. Now don't misunderstand, Paul's not telling them to become hermits, but rather to have a lifestyle of contentment which is free of drama and free of stress. And he encouraged personal accountability for them to be diligent in their efforts and responsibilities. And he is especially concerned that the unbelievers in the community see an example of integrity and self-sufficiency. So here's a key thought I want you to remember. The SQP, spiritual, quiet professional, is blameless. No one's going to find fault with him. Listen to Psalm 37:37. Mark the blameless man. Did you hear it? Mark the blameless man and observe the upright man, for the future of that man is peace. So the spiritual, quiet professional I'm talking about is blameless. He's not a troublemaker. Here is the lifestyle of the spiritual, quiet professional taught in the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Here it is, now listen, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To do justly, to walk mercy, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So a spiritual, quiet professional, let's take the word spiritual. A spiritual person always puts his mission first. And your mission, should you choose to complete, is to do what? 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This mandate cannot be fulfilled in the energy of your flesh. It requires a supernatural helper, the one the Lord Jesus Christ he assigned to each one of us in John 14:26. Do you remember that verse? But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. So each one of us that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are indwelled by the Holy Spirit according to Ephesians 1:13. For the purpose of enabling us to execute our mission. And this requires not only the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but actually the filling of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. And you should know by now that sin will break fellowship with God and quench the power of the Holy Spirit and influence in our lives. Thus, the first problem-solving device every believer has to learn is how to recover from sin and regain fellowship with God. Because our fellowship with God is maintained by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And if you have quenched the Holy Spirit by personal sin and grieved the Holy Spirit, you're not in fellowship with God. You're still in the relationship. You haven't lost your salvation, but you are not in fellowship with God. So the mature believer that I'm talking about, the spiritual, quiet professional, he has insight into all situations and is able to appraise what's happening to him. Or what's happening around him, because his values are based on biblical standards, which allow him to focus on the invisible, not the visible. Did you hear that? And you got to learn to look at the invisible, not the visible. Satan's good at throwing up a smokescreen. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So when you use your 10 problem-solving devices, Then the spiritual quiet professional is able to live a consistent spiritual life which is available to any person who receives Christ as their Savior. Unfortunately, not all believers will see the need or take time to grow to be the spiritual quiet professional. That's what grieves me. They're not interested. They're distracted. They got too many things going on, and they're not willing to grow into that sort of person. Spiritual. There's a difference between being spiritual and being spiritually mature now. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit with no unconfessed sin in your life, using the rebound technique, problem-solving device number one, you are spiritual. But the spiritually mature unbeliever, that's a different person. Not only is he filled with the Holy Spirit, but he has a maximum amount of the Word of God stored in the stream of consciousness circulating in his soul so that he can use it. It's called biblical wisdom. So, you got that? That's great. Now, what about quiet? Spiritual, quiet professional. What does quiet mean? Well, in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, Paul wrote this, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life. Mind your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. This is a great picture of an even-tempered, poised, self-composed, balanced believer, which is what you're supposed to be. An even-tempered, poised, that means thinking under pressure, self-composed, balanced believer. The amazing benefits of the spiritual quiet professional's life is evident to everyone who sees it. In James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, then it's gentle and willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So as a spiritual quiet professional, you will find yourself being level-headed, temperate, behaving properly towards unbelievers, using impersonal love, not judging other people, not judging their opinions nor their convictions, because your life as an invisible hero will be a powerful witness to those whom you come in contact with. You don't even have to preach to them. They can observe your difference in your lifestyle, the way you think, the way you act, and they will be inquisitive about what brings that around. Why do you do these things? Many believers are simply Christian auditors. That's the bad part about it. Many believers are simply Christian auditors. Like the student who simply audits a class and never gets credit since they take no exam to see what they retain. Christian auditors simply hear the message at church and don't apply what is taught and makes that person an auditor. An auditor, remember, a Christian auditor is not growing. He's not taking the class for credit. He's simply hearing the message at church and not applying what is taught, and that makes him an auditor. Remember these words in Ecclesiastes 5:2. Don't be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. As a spiritual, quiet professional, you will be accustomed to difficulty in the devil's world, and you won't complain about it. You won't whine about it. You will not be garrulous. That means excessively talkative, or you won't be verbose. Listen to Proverbs 10:19. Talking about being garrulous or verbose. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. That's the quiet professional. You may ask yourself why I use the word professional. Why do I call a believer a professional person? Well, here's why. I use the word professional for a mature believer. So please allow me to remind you of our friend Gideon in the Bible, the man God used to deliver Israel from the Midianites, is reported in Judges chapter 6 through chapter 8. In this historical event, God eliminated many of the Israeli soldiers because of their lack of professionalism. I mean, Gideon had a tremendous army, but they were not professional. Listen to Judges 7, 2, and 3, and this is where you can see the lack of professionalism. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel will claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand deliver me.' So to proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying this, 'Whoever is fearful, whoever is afraid, turn around, go home, leave, go back to Mount Gilead.' And 22,000 of the people left, 10,000 remained." So 22,000 quit right there. 22,000 were excused from battle since they were afraid to fight in combat, because they would have been useless anyhow. They would have become casualties very quickly. They would have been dead on the battlefield before the battle even started, even from the heart attacks, thinking about it. But notice, however, there's still 10,000. 10,000 well-armed warriors, but they lack professionalism. I'm going to show you how. It's very interesting. Listen, Judges 7, verses 4 and 6. But the Lord said to Gideon, "The people are still too many." That's 10,000. "Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go." So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set him apart by himself. Likewise, anyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lap putting their mouth to the water." Now keep this in mind. They laid their weapons down. They're on both knees, and they're lapping up the water. These are the ones that lack professionalism. So the Lord is going to send them home, and the ones that didn't lap are the ones that got down on one knee, put their hand to their mouth, and kept their weapon in the other hand. And there was only 300 of them left, but all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Did you get it? So out of the 10,000, only 300 were well-qualified believers. They kept their weapon in one hand and knelt down on one knee and put their hand in the water and got a drink of water. The rest of them laid their weapons down, got on both knees, and lapped at the water like a dog. Notice that God only needed 300 well-qualified warriors to defeat that entire Midianite army of thousands. How did he do that? Well, he deployed a brilliant night maneuver, and that night maneuver confused the enemy and gave Israel the total victory. So let's notice the characteristics of the professional soldier and how these characteristics apply to believers like you and me. Can we listen? Here we go. One, God uses well-qualified Christians, not immature, unconcerned, distracted believers. God uses well-qualified Christians, not immature, unconcerned, distracted believers. So if you wish to be a member of the pivot of mature believers that can deliver this nation from the impending discipline we're facing, you must put your spiritual life as priority number one. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, the Bible says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." A well-qualified Christian is not an immature, unconcerned, distracted believer. If you want to be a spiritual, quiet professional, if you want to be a member of the pivot, if you want to deliver this nation from what's coming and the impending discipline we're facing, you must make your spiritual life priority number one. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "I am what I am by the grace of God." Don't forget what I just read. A well-qualified believer, a spiritual, quiet professional, has an understanding of the mechanics involved in the spiritual life. He or even she understands the filling of the Holy Spirit. They understand the faith rest drill. They understand Operation Z. They understand virtue love. They have a personal sense of destiny. And they know exactly how to determine God's will for their life. Did you hear all of that? Let me ask you this same question. Do you understand how to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You're told to be filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. Do you understand it? Secondly, do you understand how to use the faith rest drill, standing on the promises of God? This problem-solving device number three. Do you understand how to do that? If not, you need to contact us and let us send you the book on the faith rest drill. It's critical you understand how to use those 7,000 promises found in the Bible. And they're yours. They're like cash in the bank, but if you can't cash a check, it doesn't do you any good. You got to know where those promises are. Do you know how to use a faith rest drill? How many promises can you actually claim? So do you understand the filling of the Holy Spirit? Do you understand the faith rest drill? Do you understand Operation Z? What does that mean? It means, do you understand what it takes to learn the Word of God when you go to church? If you go to church, you sit there and listen to the preacher. The Holy Spirit will pick up what the preacher teaches you. The communicator will communicate it. The Holy Spirit will capture it, and you can comprehend it. But if you don't comply with the message, it hasn't done you any good at all. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it." Hear and keep. In 1 John 5:3, "This is a sign you love God, that you keep His mandates, and His mandates are not hard." So Operation Z is you growing every day under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor. It's you cycling that word that he teaches through your soul. It starts out being what the Greek just calls knowledge. The Greek word is gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. The English word is knowledge. But there's another word that the English doesn't have a word for, and the Greeks did. They called another word epinosis, E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. And epi is a preposition meaning full, and there's a difference between knowledge and full knowledge. The difference is knowledge is information you heard and understood, and full knowledge is information you heard, understood, and applied into your life. So unless you're applying what you're learning, you're not fulfilling Operation Z. If you need more information about that, contact us, and we'll give you the more information on that. Do you understand the virtue love category, personal love for God and personal love for others? Do you understand that? Do you understand that you love God with reciprocal love motivation because he first loved you, the Bible says? Virtue love says you have the ability to love a person that's unloving. Do you have a personal sense of destiny? Do you know what God's plan for your life is? Do you understand how to know it? Can you understand how to determine what is God's will for your life? This is where I run into a lot of people that don't know that. They know God has a plan for their life, but they don't know how to determine what is God's will for their life. Most of them don't even know what their spiritual gift is. These are things you must know to be a well-qualified believer, to be that spiritual quiet professional. Because the spiritual quiet professional will know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will know how to use the faith rest drill. He will know how to use Operation Z. He understands the virtue love concepts of personal love for God and personal love for others. And he does have a personal sense of destiny, and he does know exactly how to determine God's will for his life. So the spiritual quiet professional will not be hasty. He will not be impulsive. He will have divine wisdom and divine insight and discernment into spiritual matters. Isaiah 30, verse 15 says, "In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." There's two words together right there, quietness and confidence, spiritual quiet professional. The spiritual quiet professional is quiet and he's confident. He's a professional. The spiritual quiet professional is objective and impartial. And he's not influenced by emotions or prejudice. He doesn't have any personal prejudice. He's not hung up on race or priorities or things like that. The spiritual quiet professional is not a loose cannon. Then running his mouth. He's not a rogue warrior trying to do it all his way. Remember, God was in business before you got here, and God will be in business when you're gone. The whole thing doesn't depend on you. What you have to do is get some spiritual maturity, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, replicate his life through your life, begin to think in terms of divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint, and give maximum glorification to God. You cannot do that as a baby believer. You've got to grow up. You've got to become the man God designed you to be, or the woman God designed you to be. And the only way you can do that is to have a true scale of values and a true scale of your priorities in your life. So that's my question to you this morning. What are your priorities? Is your spiritual life your priorities? And what are your values? Are your values banked and based on the Word of God? I'm telling you these things because without that core group of spiritual quiet professionals that meet these standards I'm talking about, we will never, ever have a pivot that can deliver this nation from the forthcoming divine discipline that we're facing, the divine discipline that we deserve, because as a whole, we've turned our back on God. You know that, and I know that. We've begun to worship the gifts more than the giver. We've kicked God out of the classroom. We've kicked God out of the public agenda. We've become a nation of arrogant individual fools. Those in leadership, it amazes me what the way they think sometimes. Some of the things they're coming up with. We're in serious trouble. It doesn't take a genius to see it. I've been saying this for years. There's a train wreck coming, and I can hear the whistle blowing right now. Anybody with any intelligence will tell you not much longer, and we're going to go down if we don't start changing. And it has to start with you. That's why I'm asking you this morning, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I wish you would become one. I hope you would take a minute to accept Christ as your Savior, because that is the single most significant, important event in your life. What think you of Christ? Is he the Son of God or is he not? The day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, my entire life changed. I didn't feel different, but it became different. I remember going to bed that night with peace in my heart, knowing that God had forgiven me for my sin, and if I did die, I would go to heaven. That's the first question you have to answer. If you die, are you going to go to heaven? Do you know that for a fact? If you don't, I pray that you will put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And secondly, if you are a Christian, my prayer is that you will see the priority to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That you will get with it seriously. That you'll get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor. And if you don't know where one is, contact me and I'll tell you where one is. I'll put you in touch with a good pastor where you can study at home if you have to. But you must grow. You must become that man or that woman God intended for you to be. You must be the spiritual, quiet professional. You must live the spiritual life. You must operate in quietness. And you must be a professional in all your actions and all your deeds. I hope this is making sense to you. I wanted to do this on spiritual, quiet professional to challenge you to be the man or to be the woman God designed you to be. Because unless we have a few spiritual, quiet professionals, you can kiss it goodbye in this country. And you can tell your children, your grandchildren, well, I was saved and I was a Christian, but I didn't care enough about it to give you a chance. Because that's exactly what you're doing. You're guaranteeing they don't have a chance if you don't fulfill your spiritual life. Because as goes your spiritual life, so goes the history of this nation. Are you listening? I pray you are. Are you being challenged? I pray you are. And I pray you'll come back next week, same time, same place, same station, and join me again. If you need to contact me, you can always call 1-800-831-0718. 1-800-831-0718. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next few minutes, stay with me. It's 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, and no manipulation, which means we don't con people. We're not trying to get any money from you. We're not trying to sell you anything. But we are trying to give you the Word of God, hoping that we can verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if we can do that, then you always have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to that plan, and I pray that you will. Before we get started in our show today, let me remind you of several of our books that are available called Practicing Your Christianity and Crash Course in Christianity, two of our books that are great, tremendous books describing how the spiritual life works for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are free books. You can always go to our website, rickhughesministries.org, not Richard Hughes. That's a different person. rickhughesministries.org. And you can see our books there. You can see the things you can order free of charge. You can even listen to some of our books read to you by Jack Steele, our announcer, over the Internet. So I hope you'll take advantage of that. Let us hear from you. You know, we couldn't do these shows if the Lord didn't provide our means, and He's done that faithfully all these years. I think this is show 972 Sundays we've been on the air. All that time, we've never asked people for money. We've never sold anything, never solicited funds. The Lord has always provided it through His people as they are motivated to give. Thank you for that. So are you ready to jump in today? A lot of things to talk about. I can't even begin to discuss whatever I'd like to say on the radio because we're living in some pretty strange times. But one of the things my associates and I deal with every week is what can I present to you during this particular radio broadcast? And it's true that I spent a lot of nights praying about this and asking the Holy Spirit to guide me show me what he wants me to bring to you, as I begin to bring you a different topic every Sunday morning. And I try to prepare the message that he wants me to give to you. So lately, if you've been listening, we've been examining the spiritual life. We've tried to familiarize you with the importance of growing to spiritual maturity. We've tried to impress upon you how you can reflect Christ in your daily life. And if you're familiar with the Flightline, the 10 problem-solving devices, reflecting Christ in your daily life is occupation with Jesus Christ, or problem-solving device number 10. Please don't forget, this show is called The Flightline, and it's founded on those 10 problem-solving devices that my pastor taught me years ago that make the main line of resistance in your soul. And the whole thing for the spiritual life is to keep the outside source of adversity from ever becoming any type of inside source of stress. That's why the Christian life is such a unique life for you to live. Unfortunately, many pastors don't teach it. Many churches go through ritual of that reality, and that's such a shame. And I get letters and emails from people constantly saying, where can I find a well-qualified pastor? Where can I find someone that can teach me the Bible? And sometimes I don't know in your particular city, but I can always refer you to someone that I know over the internet that you can listen to their sermons as their streaming video sermons are presented several times a week. And that's the way that I study. I don't live in that particular town where my pastor is, but I listen to the streaming video lessons from the pulpit and take notes. So think about that. Now, the greatest danger to each one of us, I'm going to tell you, don't be shocked, it's the complex of arrogance and the related sins that go along with that. Arrogance, very seldom talked about. So when any Christian fails to recognize arrogance in their decision-making process, it's almost inevitable they have a defect, and they will have problems resulting in, eventually, if they don't get it straight, mental disorders. A mental defect in the spiritual life, what do I mean by that? What is a mental defect in the spiritual life? It's a source of emotional difficulty, and usually results in some sort of hang-up. These hang-ups can be an obstacle to normal living. We know these obstacles or these hang-ups as a flaw, an F-L-A-W. A flaw, which simply means that you have a highly sensitive area which can naturally cause me or you or them to become neurotic. That means abnormally sensitive or obsessive or anxious. I know a lot of Christians like this. I've met Christians like this. They have hang-ups about certain things, certain individual sins, certain individual people, and they have hang-ups about it. But one thing you can count on, a mental hang-up in your spiritual life or a flaw will neutralize you, and you will never be able to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. It will cause you to become unproductive. Unproductive spiritually, or simply put, cause you to fail to ever reach spiritual maturity, which is the objective of every believer, to grow to be a spiritually mature individual, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ through your life. So it all starts with one area that I'd like to highlight to you today called hypersensitivity. If you don't recognize that and control that, it'll lead to judging people. It will lead to being vindictive about people and vindictive in your behavior, and it may be even you isolating yourself and becoming full of self-pity. Both judging and self-pity are sins the Bible talks about, and they have to be confessed. As a matter of fact, the Bible warns you in Romans chapter 7, don't judge lest you be judged, because with the measure you measure, it's going to be measured back to you again. So if you hope to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, and I hope you do, if you hope to grow to maturity, and I'm praying that you will, then your hypersensitivity has to be checked at the door. And the only way you can do that is to use divine viewpoint. That's using forgiveness and applying impersonal love in any area that you deal with. Using forgiveness and applying impersonal love, especially when dealing with other people that make you upset. Listen to Ephesians 4:32. Be kind. Be compassionate to one another. Forgiving each other, just as Christ in God's sake forgave you. And then in 1 Peter 4:8, above all things, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. And I'm going to tell you right now, if there's someone that you can't stand in your church, someone you can't stand in your social organization, someone you can't stand in your school or at job, you're being hypersensitive. You have to check that with divine viewpoint. And that means you have to learn how to use impersonal love, problem-solving device, a wonderful problem-solving device, where you love someone based on who you are, not based on who they are. Please think about that. Because if we fail to recognize our own sins, well, then we're in trouble. If we fail to recognize our own sins, our own arrogance, then that's when you quench the Holy Spirit. And if that happens, you can move into pride very quickly. And there's nothing worse than a prideful believer who's hypersensitive or who has some sort of unrealistic self-image about his importance or her importance in the plan of God. I think this attitude could further complicate things for anyone involved by creating spiritual competition even in your local church. Now, only the Word of God can allow you to see yourself as you really are. That's what's important about the Bible. That's why we study the Bible. It's like a mirror. It reflects what we really are. Listen to James 1:23. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and forgets what he saw. The Word of God is a mirror. It will highlight your flaws. It'll show you where you're hypersensitive. It will show you where your arrogance is located, and you have to deal with that if you're ever going to advance spiritually and represent Jesus Christ to your family and to your generation. But when we refuse to orient to reality, then that's when we become irrational. That's when we begin to be divorced from the reality of life. Thus, any believer who should be stable, having the mind of Christ, becomes actually unstable, and it's usually because of the emotional complex of sins. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have to be able to use that. We should be stable having the mind of Christ. That's divine viewpoint. And that's why Philippians 2:5 said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. I've quoted that verse thousands of times. Another verse I've quoted thousands of times in Romans 12:1-3, where it says, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think, but think in terms of humility as God has assigned each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. So if you're going to get out of that irrational, arrogant complex and become oriented to reality of life, you've got to have the mind of Christ, which means Scripture, the Bible. The Bible is the mind of Christ. That's what 1 Corinthians 2:16 tells you. And whenever your pastor teaches you the Scripture, he's revealing to you the way the Lord Jesus Christ thought. You know, one of the amazing traits of the mature spiritual life is clear, lucid thinking. Clear, lucid thinking. No fear from adverse circumstances. None of that. Clear, lucid thinking because of the divine promises in the Bible, and you can use them in the faith rest drill. You should know what that is. The mature believer is not easily recruited by the lure of the world's cosmic evangelist. And he's going to try to recruit you into some kind of financial scheme or some sort of political crusade or one of the many other lures that Satan would use to sidetrack you from ever advancing to becoming a mature believer. The one thing you need to learn right away in the Christian life is friendship should never be more important than the Word of God. And I have lost friends because they don't agree with me concerning what the Word of God teaches, and they compromise the Scriptures. Now listen, let me just ask you a serious question. If you were the devil, I mean, Paul Harvey asked this years ago, but I'm talking a little different here. If you were the devil, what would you do to wreck your spiritual life? What would you do to wreck your spiritual advance? Well, let me show you what he does. Notice Ephesians 6:10-12. Finally, my brethren, talking to believers, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong is an imperative mood. It's not a request. Be strong in the Lord. It comes from two sources, the source of the Word of God in your soul and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And put on the whole armor of God, every piece of it, so that you may be able to stand against the strategy of the devil. This is a military analogy now. Paul's using an analogy of the Roman soldier in the Christian life. And it says here, stand against the strategy of the devil. He has a strategy. He has a plot. He has a plan to defeat you. And it's all listed in verse 12 of Ephesians 6. Get your Bible and read it. It says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That passage I just read to you, Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, clearly is written to warn any one of us that are advancing to maturity of Satan's ability to sidetrack us, to prevent us from ever reaching spiritual maturity where we can actually give God maximum glorification. That's what his objective is. He can't stop you from being saved. You're already saved. You've already accepted Christ, but he can sure divert your attention away from the importance of learning the Scripture and inquiring the mind of Christ. The strategy of the devil, that word says. I want to put on the armor of God so you can stand against the strategy of the devil, the wiles of the devil. The Greek language in that particular passage is methodia ho diabolos. Methodia ho diabolos. But what is methodia? What is that methodia? It's a reference to Satan's strategy. The strategy to defeat you in your spiritual advance, his method, what he's going to do. However, it's interesting. It's a compound word, and it uses the word meta, meaning in association with, and the word haduo, to journey. Haduo means to journey. So simply put this word together, and it's talking about the road to your spiritual life or the road to your spiritual failure. It's not just one act. It's a journey. It's a journey that Satan gets you into, and it takes you down a dead-end street. It may take weeks or it may take months because of your tragic flaw. What I mean? I mean because of your emotional weakness, your self-pity. Because of that, you may never even realize what's happening or what's going on in your life. The methods of Satan to end your journey so that you don't reach spiritual maturity. Now, the Lord showed us in this passage that Satan employs a tremendous organization. That organization is made up of fallen angels, ones who possess different rank and different responsibilities, all of which have the same objective, that's to distract or defeat us in the arena of the angelic conflict. And Paul lists them as principalities. He called them powers, rulers of darkness, and the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenlies. Now, don't be discouraged because of that. Don't let that upset you. Here is our verse we stand behind, 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So I don't care what kind of strategy Satan employs towards you. If you stick with the Word of God and stay filled with the Holy Spirit, you can defeat him and you can become the person God intends you to be, a mature believer. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And Christ in you is the hope of glory. This divine provision of 1 John 4:4 is another demonstration of the unfailing love of God towards you. The unfailing love of God to his children, the ones that are living in the devil's world. We have to live here. We got saved. We didn't go to heaven as soon as we got saved. We're still here. Philippians 3:20 tells us our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not citizens of the earth. We're sojourners. We're strangers. We're just passing through. And huronos, heaven, is our home. That's where we're headed. So even though you and I are currently living behind enemy lines, do you hear that? Living behind enemy lines, we have not been forsaken by God, and we have not been forgotten by God. Romans 8:35 says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? For as it is written, Paul wrote, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Yet in all of these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And here comes the powerful verse. Listen. For I am persuaded, what? Romans 8:38. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a solution to what I read to you in Ephesians 6 right there. I don't care what Satan employs while you're behind enemy lines. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's what he made it clear there. You need to get that in your mind. And you need to arm yourself while you're behind enemy lines with the filling of the Holy Spirit and with a maximum amount of Scripture circulating in your stream of consciousness. Keep this in mind. Would you do it for me? Love, L-O-V-E, that's not a one-way street. Love is not a one-way street. God loves you, yes. We know that. But what does God expect out of you? What about it? The Bible says that God demonstrated His love for us. God demonstrated His love for us. And that God sent His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the wonderful thing about His love being demonstrated. God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take our place. He sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Again, 1 John 4:9, in this is the love of God manifested towards us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. So I'm going to ask you a question. How can you demonstrate you love God? He loved you, there's no doubt about that. So how can you demonstrate you love Him? Listen to 1 John 4:20. John wrote it this way, if someone says, I love God, and yet he hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And in 1 John 5:3, again, John said, this is the love of God, that we keep his mandates, and his mandates are not heavy, they're not hard, they're not grievous. Now you say you love God. Do you obey him? Do you obey him? How do you demonstrate you love God? By growing in grace. When the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that doesn't mean about once a month you get your Bible down and read a verse. I mean, the last time I looked, we have to eat daily, don't we? Every day you look forward to some kind of great food to munch on and eat and get up for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Maybe even a snack at night. The Word of God is your food. You have to feed on the Word of God. And that demonstrates you love God when you obey God. When you have His Word, you love it and you feed on it and you obey Him. They're not hard. Psalm 119, verse 1 and 2. Listen carefully. This gives us the instructions we need to have if we want to be happy while we're behind the enemy's lines. Behind the enemy lines refers to being on planet Earth during the angelic conflict. Again, this is not our home. We don't belong here. We're sojourners. We're just passing through. So while we're behind enemy lines, what are we supposed to do? Listen to Psalm 119, verse 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, those who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. That word blessed is another word for happiness. And it says happiness belongs to those that are undefiled in the way. That means, what does it mean for you? It means you stay filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't let sin knock you off your horse. If you do sin and you do fail, and you will, don't shock yourself, you will, then confess your sin, rebound, problem-solving device number one, and get back on the horse and keep going. There's nothing worse than a quitter. I think there's nothing worse that you could do as a believer than fail and then sit there and feel sorry for yourself and say, God doesn't love me. I failed. I did a boo-boo. If God was through with you, He would take you on home. The fact that you're still here, still occupying space, still breathing air, He's not through with you. Get up. Confess your sin. Move on. Rebound. And take in the Word of God on a daily basis. Notice three words in this passage. Those who walk. What does that mean? It means you obey His mandates. You keep and you seek His Word. Those who walk in the law of God. Those who keep His testimonies. Those who seek with their whole heart. Walk, keep, and seek. I did a study one time called Seekers, Not Just Peepers. Unfortunately, many believers are not seeking. They just want to take a peep at it. Are you a seeker or a peeper? Because the key to growing spiritually, the key to being the mature spiritual individual God wants you to do, God wants you to be so you can replicate Christ, is to stay off the My Way Highway. And the secret to staying off the My Way Highway is found in these verses I'm about to give you. If you haven't learned anything else, learn these three verses. Psalm 119, verse 11, Psalm 119, verse 15, and Psalm 119, verse 16. This is the key to being a successful believer. This is what you must do if you want to glorify God to the max. Remember what Psalm 119, 1 and 2 said? Happiness are those who are undefiled, not messed up with sin, not soiled with sin, who walk, who keep, who seek. All right, now listen to this. Here it is. This is what it means to walk, keep, and seek right here. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word did I hide in my heart that I might not sin against you. Well, how can you hide it if you don't have it? How can you learn it if you don't have it? Hide it in my heart means to put it in my frame of comfort, in my frame of reference, to be in my memory center so I can recall it lately when I need it. How can you recall what you don't have? So when you learn the scriptures, you have divine wisdom, divine insight, divine understanding, and you might not sin against God. What does that mean? I mean, sometimes it's kind of tricky. This is what Satan's good at with a cosmic evangelist while you're behind the enemy lines. Lure you into some sort of sin you don't realize is a sin. Like crusader arrogance, for example. God did not send you to straighten out the devil's world. That's not your job. Your job is to lift up, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ to the maximum. My scriptures say this word, Psalm 119, verse 11 in my Bible, your word I hid in my heart so that I would not sin against you. Now listen to verse 15. I will meditate. Oh, I got it in my heart and I'm going to think about it. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. This means you're going to discover and discuss the Bible. You're going to discover what God has for you. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. He can enlighten you. He can bring things to your mind. So if you have a scripture and you pray over it, like some of these scriptures I've been giving you today, and say, Father, what does this mean? Show me how it fits into my life. Show me what you want me to do, Lord. Meditate and contemplate. That's the secret to the Christian life. You meditate in God's word, contemplate your ways because you've hidden his word in your heart. And then what happens? Psalm 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in your law, your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Wow. Three wonderful things. I hid your word in my heart. I meditate on your precepts. I contemplate your ways. And I am delighted myself in your statutes. I will not forget it. Think about that. This is what you must have if you're going to stay out of arrogance. If you're going to get away from those emotional flaws that so easily distract you, if you're ever going to grow to be the person God intends you to be, this is critical for you to understand. My, I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. I would love to hear from you. If you're listening and you haven't ever contacted us before, send us an email through rickhughesministries.org. rickhughesministries.org. That's our email address. And you can send us an email. Let me know you're listening. Let me know you're being encouraged. It's a great source of encouragement to me when I know you're there and I know you're listening. Okay? All right, now next week we'll be back, same time, same place. Pray for us as we put something else together for you. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you so very much for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.